Thank you, Pastor Brad and Minister Miranda. And thank you, West Virginia. So awesome to be with you guys. Let's just say some prayer, all right? Father, we just come to you right now. And Lord, we thank you for your sweet, sweet presence that is in this place. Lord, I pray that you will move in a mighty way. Lord, that you will speak forth the words that you want to speak forth tonight. Lord, may you be glorified and magnified, Lord God, as the word goes forth. Lord, go down deep in our hearts, Lord God. And Lord, put your word in our heart, Lord God. And may you build faith in us tonight, I pray, in your mighty name. Amen. If you'll get your Bibles out, if you'll just continue to stand and get your Bibles out to Luke 1, your phones or whatever it is that you're using, I'm going to sneak Pastor Chris's little trick that he did here today so I can see everybody. Okay. But Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and I know it's not Christmas, in case you didn't know. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, a different Joseph than we talked about this morning, okay? The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Wow, amazing, amazing when you think about it. You can have a seat. You know, I just love Mary. And you know, Pastor Chris has written these shows that I was able to play Mary, so I feel like I am Mary, okay? But I really am not. But you know how you get sometimes when you play those roles and you're like, yeah, I'm Mary. I have that faith that Mary had. And I played the young Mary and I played the old Mary. You know, I once was young, but now I'm old. Okay. And I've got to play both parts. But you know what? I think she's a pretty special lady. Because when you think about it, she's just a young girl of like 15 or 16 years old. That's amazing to me. And an angel shows up and tells her all this mighty stuff that's going to happen to her. But she's not like, I would be like saying, now what did you say? I'm going to, what? You're going to come over me and I'm going to be pregnant? But no, she just takes the angel at his word and she says, "May it be to me as you have said." Wow, I want to be like that. I want to be like, "Yes, Lord, whatever you say, I'm going to do it," and not question him because, you know, in Missouri, I'm from Missouri, and it's called the show me state. So I'm like, show me, God, what that all means, right? Show me what that means. But Mary, no, she says, "May it be to me as you have said." She seems so adult-like. Not 15 or 16 years old, right? It gives me hope that Mary, you know, she's a very ordinary person. And that gives me hope that I'm a very ordinary person too. And God used her to do an amazing thing, bring forth the Son of God on earth. Wow, what an amazing thing. And she was carrying out God's plans and purposes for us. It shows me that you don't need to have great ability. You just need to be available. Availability. You know, we have to be available and have a willing heart. a willing heart, and that we can say yes to him when he asks us to do something for him. Has God ever asked you to do something and you're like, let's think this out. I don't know if I can do this, right? Maybe it's just me. You guys are so full of faith. You're like, yes, God, every time he tells you to do something, I'm going to start that life group, and I'm going to do it in power and might, right? Okay, I think there's some people like me here, okay? But Mary accepts her divine assignment right away, and she doesn't even hesitate. And the favor of God is for service. It's not for status. She's like, yes, God, I want to serve you. She's like, she's not thinking, I'm going to be the mother of Jesus on this earth. She's not saying, oh, yes, I'm going to get the status that I want or the followers that I want. She's doing it because she has a broken heart for the world, and she knows that God wants to use her powerfully, and it's not for our own status, right? With that favor, though, her life turns upside down. It turns upside down. And some of us may think, you know, that God has left us because our life seems upside down. But God says, no, it's a sign that you don't have my favor. It's a sign that you just might have it, right? Because sometimes he tells us to do something and it looks kind of messy. And you're like going through it and you're kind of fumbling through it and you're like, but God, I thought it was going to look like this. I'm sure Mary was like, but God, I thought it was going to look like this. You said that you were going to come on me and everything else I thought was just going to fall in place. But that's not what happened. And, you know, he says many times God tells you that you're favored of the Lord. And we're like, woohoo, awesome, I'm favored of the Lord, and I'm going to have this worldwide ministry, and I'm going to have status, and I'm going to be, people are going to know me, you know. And that's what we think. Great recognition, right? Because that's we live in that kind of world right now. How many likes are you going to get? How many thumbs up are you going to get? How many things are you going to get? But that's what the majority of us think. And we think that God's favor is great wealth and great worldwide recognition. But the angel tells Mary, the power of God is going to overshadow you, and you're going to have an immaculate conception. This has never been done before. Okay, and now go explain this to your fiancé, Joseph, and go tell your mom and dad, and go tell your family, and go tell all the people in your village that you're pregnant with the Son of God. Do you think they're going to believe her? You know, sometimes we don't think about that part. We just hear the part of the angel shows up, and she's like, yes, and we don't think about all the ugly stuff that happened, I'm sure, because of what she had to, her yes. What her yes was, she had to pay for it, and we don't think about it. And you know what? She could have been stoned to death for this favor of the Lord. She really could. Back in those days, if you were pregnant, they would have stoned you. And a lot of us think that everything is going to be an easy road when you have the favor of the Lord. But I'm telling you what, when you're impregnated with a God dream, it is not always an easy road, right? It's not, because that is exactly what happened to her. She could have been ostracized from society. I mean, think about it. I know, you know, if I would have gone to Chris before we got married and said, guess what happened? There was an immaculate conception, and God came, overshadowed me, and I was about, and I'm going to give birth to a child. Think about that. It's crazy, because I'm sure he was like, Joseph was like, she has loony bin, and she's lost her mind, right? And I'm pretty sure we have not, you know, he would not have taken my word about that. Would you, babe? No, I don't think so. Because it sounds ludicrous. It sounds crazy. And we think that Mary had this smooth road laid ahead of her, but she did not. I'm telling you, being impregnated with a vision and a dream of the Lord will always cost you. It will always cost you. The favor of the Lord has a price tag. It could mean you lose the favor of man. The favor of God means that not everyone's going to think that you're awesome. It's true. The favor of God means you have to go at it alone sometimes with God. Not sometimes, all the time. Because you're like, what? God, please help, right? Because not everyone is going to get your call. Not everyone's going to get it. And you have got to be willing to live like that. Everything that Pastor Chris and I have ever done in our life has started out with a time of incubation where not everyone around us understood what we were going to do. They didn't understand it. I mean, going to Maui, you know, when we were those 22-year-olds that we were talking about, going to Maui, my family was like, what? Because I was the oldest of five, okay, and no one else had ever left the family before, and I'm from Illinois, and I'm telling you what, my mom and dad, I mean, for years, they would be like, hey, we got you an interview with this pastor in Illinois, and they're going to call you today. And I'm just looking at them like, Mom, God called us to Maui, and we're there until God says, move on, right? And it was difficult for them. I remember one time I even had to say to my mom, didn't you dedicate me as a baby to the Lord? And she's like, yes. I go, then stop. Stop. This is what we're supposed to do right now. And they don't understand because it's your call that God's called you to do, right? And then we moved from Maui to Dallas, okay? And we had been on Maui for 21 years, and people were like, why are you leaving? Why are you going to Dallas? Dallas? You're going to go to Dallas where it's 106 and like someone's taking a blow dryer and blowing it in your face? I mean, it was like that heat was intense. And yes, yeah, God's called us to Dallas. And people didn't understand it. You know, and that, then moving from the Dallas Extension, which was our baby, you know, because we started it from scratch. We had a building, but we started it from scratch. So that was like our baby, you know. And then he's like, okay, move on and do unto one ministries. And we did that for a while. And then he says, then he calls us to go to Branson and take another huge step of faith to start all over again. Start over again. Do what you did again. And we're like, what? That was hard. Do we have to do it again? Yes, do it again. You know what? Birthing is not easy. Birthing is not easy. How many have done natural birth? Anyone? Woo, glory. I did not have those, what do you call those, when they shoot in your back, an epidural. Nope, did not have it because I had all my babies on Maui, and at that time, it cost a lot more money to do that. So we had no epidural. Yeah, they didn't have it. Hallelujah. So those pushing moments, going to Dallas, going to Branson, doing unto one ministries, all of those things, they were difficult. And the call of God on your life, you know what? It's between you and God. And other people don't understand it. Others around you think you've lost your mind and you've gone crazy. Like, why are they leaving Maui? Why are they leaving Dallas? Why are they leaving to do that? And you have to come to the realization that you and God knows, and that's enough. And you have to know that you know that you know that's what God's called you to do. And Joseph didn't understand at first what Mary was saying to him, you know, when she came to him and said, I'm pregnant with God's son. And I'm sure he was thinking, what? But God had to give him a dream to know that it was real. And then he moved on from there. Praise God, that angel showed up for him in that dream and showed him. And the point is, are you willing to understand his favor and know that it's for service, not status? A lot of times we get that turned around in ministry. The fear of the Lord is normal. You know, I think every time we took a big step, we would look at each other. I mean, I remember even in Dallas, we were sitting in this house that we had just purchased there, and they hadn't cleaned it up or anything. And I was sitting, like, I think on our cooler because there was no furniture or anything there. And we had moved our big old truck, and it still wasn't here with all of our stuff. And we're sitting on a cooler in the middle of this big living room, and we're like, what did we just do? Why did we leave Maui? Every time we've taken those steps of faith, it has been crazy, but it's been well worth it because God said to do it. And I know Mary said it was worth it. It was worth it. You know, the angel of the Lord shows up. And you notice when the angel of the Lord showed up with Mary, and any time the angel of the Lord showed up, what's his first words that he says? Fear not. Because we're human beings, and we're like, what? That sounds too big. Yes. And you may be like, what, God? You've called me to do this thing, and I may lose everything, and you want me to carry this? You mean my community may ostracize me and my family may not understand? A lot of times we're afraid of what it will cost us in terms of relationships and resources, and we are paralyzed and crippled by fear. But at the threshold of every dream of our lives, the enemy will send a spirit of fear to try to stop you from doing it. And he will stop you in your tracks if you let that fear grip you. Fear is gripping people and keeping them from their destinies. It has crippled some Christians because they've been paralyzed by that fear. Maybe God called you to a specific ministry, or he's called you to start a business, or he's called you to do something, to step outside of what God's called you, of what you think in your natural mind, because it's a God thing, right? And he's asked you to start that business, and you've been paralyzed by that fear. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Because there are times that I needed God to come and give me a sound mind during those times, because we start getting fearful. We start like, this is too big for me. Yes, it is too big for you, because God is going to do the impossible, right? So we don't stop taking risks. We don't run away. We are thrust into light and dispel the darkness that tries to come around us. That fear is darkness. And the life and hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, he can bring you through those times. And we're not running away from the world and hiding. Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to die on a cross and rise again from the grave so that we could cower back. Right? Look what he did for us. He's worth it. He's worth it. And he wants, you know, sometimes we just want to be safe and we want to be comfortable. Serving God isn't always comfortable. It's awesome. It's powerful, but it's not always comfortable. Anybody experienced that? Okay. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth and died and rose again to make us dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Joyce Meyer, I love her. And she says this, do it afraid. Do it afraid until you are not afraid anymore. Keep doing it. God, you know, he's called me to speak and I cower back from it because Pastor Chris knows. I'm like, I don't have the education. I can't do this. It's too much work. I don't want to like spend hours and hours and hours to get a sermon together, because it does. It takes hours, okay? But I know I'm supposed to do it, and I have to fight it. I have to fight it. I get scared. But God says, fear not. Fear not. And we cannot cower to fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And there is a reason the angel of the Lord says, fear not, every time he shows up. We're just inclined to fear. And you cannot work this out in the natural. You can't work it out in your natural mind. But make sure you're not afraid. It says, so then faith in Romans 10:17 comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I know that when I am lacking in faith, what does it say? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. I know I need to run to the word. I need to get more of the word in me so that faith will increase in my life, right? Maybe you need more of the word of God in your life to overcome that fear. Because fear will make you say no when he wants you to say yes. What if Mary would have said no? Nope, not feeling that today. I mean, I can say that God's called me to do something in, you know, different times in my life. I can't think of a personal example right now. But I know that he's called me to do a certain thing, like, say, start a life group. And I talk myself out of it. How many have ever talked yourself out of what God's called you to do? Okay, good. Honest people here. I knew you guys were honest people here in West Virginia. So you have to understand that when you say yes to God, that your life gets interrupted. God comes and interrupts our plans with his purposes. And every time God called us out to do something, we are on our way to do something else. When he called us to go to Dallas and start that extension, we had a thriving ministry, not to Dallas, but to to Dallas to start that extension. We had a thriving ministry of dance teams and choir and worship teams and worship bands and producing productions and doing all these things. And let's just say it's never a convenient time. Yeah. I mean, when you have babies, you're like, oh, this is not a good time. Mary was on her way to marry Joseph and to live a good little carpenter's wife life, right? She wasn't planning on getting pregnant by the power of God and birthing the Savior of the world. And some of us are like, well, that wasn't in my strategic plan. It never is. What God has called you to do will not be in your strategic plan. I thought we would live on Maui for the rest of our lives. I seriously did. And we start saying, but God, didn't you know that I'm incapable of doing this? It sounds so holy, doesn't it? But it's not. The truth of it is that it's the root of pride. Because what we are saying is that our limitations are greater than the ability to do amazing thing he's calling you and me to do. He's called us out to do it. So it's going to be him that does it. It's going to be him that does it. It's not us anyways. It's him. So what we need to do in the body of Christ is, if we're going to step up into our calling and do his promises, we have to have, I could never say the word but when I was a kid. You know, that was a no-no in our house, but it's not that kind of but. It's the B-U-T kind, not B-U-T-T kind, okay? And so you need a buttectomy. Like, she grew up in the 80s, is that what you said? Yes. Okay, so you need to have a buttectomy. And you're saying, what? All of our but gods need to be removed. How many of you have ever done that? But God, we need that to be removed from our vocabulary. And it's not about what we cannot do. It is about what God can do with my limitations. It's him anyways. It takes the pressure off. Okay, it takes the pressure off. And it is about him and his supernatural ability. Mary couldn't say, but God, there's no such thing as a pregnant virgin. It is impossible. And most of us disqualify God from being God because it seems impossible. Impossible is where God starts. Miracles are what God does. That's what he does. He doesn't turn up because you're talented enough or gifted enough or educated enough to do it in your own power. You think you don't need God and you're going to take the credit for it anyways? Mm-mm. But we need to get to a place where there is no human way that this thing is possible. You know, because when God, he does those things, you're like, wow, whoa, God. I just took that step of faith, and you came in, and you did it. And it's amazing to see. Oh, how many times, like even this Christmas, we were doing a brand new show, and I'm telling you what, it was hard. I'm like, God, how is this going to come together? But he did it. Right, Pastor Chris? Yes. He says, Mary, I didn't ask you if this was possible. I just asked you to say yes, and that's what she did. The thing that God asks us to do, church, is on an ongoing basis is to walk with him, trust in him, and say yes when he calls us. Possible is his thing. Will you say yes to looking like a fool. You know, we may not be able to do it now, but it is all about God's ability. Some of us haven't stepped out in faith in years, and we need to. When he asks us to do something, you know, we could be like, well, we stepped out of the boat once and it worked for a little while, and then we just, you know, we sunk. But that's okay. God's saying, get out of the boat again. Walk on water again. God says, will you step out of the boat and say yes once again? Try me once again. Would you carry me to your generation once again? To do that, you have to be prepared sometimes to look like a fool. You know, Peter, I'm sure he looked like a fool getting out of that boat, but he did walk on water for a while. So we have to give him credit there. So just step out of the boat and see what God will do, as long as you keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. And, you know, because that is what Mary did. She's like, may it be to me as you have said. Lord, I want to be like that. She was prepared for people to not understand. But, you know, there's a precedent for this inscription. All the way through Scripture, God used incredible people who were willing to be fools for the sake of the kingdom. How many say, I want to be a fool for Jesus? Amen? Amen. Can you imagine how much of a fool Noah looked like? Think about it. When he was building the ark and all of his friends are asking him, Noah, what are you building? An ark. What's an ark? They ask. I don't know. God gave me the dimensions. I'm making it. It's because rain is coming. What's rain? I haven't got a clue, but God said to do it. So now you're building an I don't know for an I haven't got a clue yet. And this is how it's worked for us. Right, Pastor Chris? This is how it's worked for us and for our lives. We've stepped out and you're like, what? I don't know how this looks and what is going to happen. But God said, do it. And we did it. And it's been difficult at times. But he says, I'm building this thing no matter what, because God called me to do it. And somewhere it is all going to come together. Noah, a man of faith. Think about Moses in the Red Sea before him and the Egyptian army behind him. And everyone's like, what are you doing with that stick, Moses? I don't know. That's how we feel sometimes. You know, I have a stick and a Red Sea. Can you imagine? Think about Sarah. Sarah felt like, you know, I mean, she's shopping in the maternity section of Target, okay? And everyone's looking at her like, what is this older lady doing in the maternity section of Target? You know, can you imagine how foolish the Israelites felt on lap six, on day six, right? And they're walking around the walls of Jericho one more time. No military weapons in hand, but just a shofar to blow on. I'm sure they didn't like, what is going on? And they had to be silent. Now, for me, that's a hard thing, to be silent even. That was a miracle in itself. But how foolish did David feel with just a little slingshot and Goliath in front of him? How foolish did Esther look when she went into the king, when she wasn't summoned to go into the king? How foolish did Caleb look at 85 when he said, I'm not cashing in my 401k. I'm not going for retirement. I'm going for refirement, Caleb says. And I'm sure I'm as strong today as I was then, is what he says. And now give me this mountain for my inheritance. And how foolish did Mary look as a pregnant virgin? How foolish did the wise men look as they are looking for the Messiah and following a star? How foolish did Peter look as he stepped out of the boat onto the water? How foolish would the woman with the issue of blood look as she reached out to touch the hem of his garment? How foolish did Paul and Silas look chained in prison and singing at the top of their lungs? You know, it wasn't even like prisons like we have today, okay? It was dirty and yucky and no toilets. Think about that alone, okay? No, don't think about that. Okay, but how foolish did a young boy look offering his 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed? I'm sorry, got too much spit here. To feed a mountainside of 5,000 people. Too many people, Jesus looked foolish hanging on the cross, and people ridiculed and mocked him and scorned him. This is the King of the Jews? That's your Messiah? But you know what? No one has ever done anything significant without looking foolish. To trust him and to defy logic. Because if you do, you just may see the results that these people saw in Scripture. They were prepared to look foolish for the sake of the gospel. Noah and his family were saved from the flood. Moses did part the Red Sea. Sarah did give birth to Isaac. The Israelites saw the walls of Jericho fall down. David did defeat Goliath. Esther stopped the Jewish genocide, and Caleb did get Hebron. Mary did give birth to Jesus. The wise men found the Messiah. The woman with the issue of blood received her healing. Paul and Silas did get out of jail, and a little boy's lunch did feed 5,000 people and more. Right? And Jesus Christ got off that cross and rose from the dead and defeated hell and death for us. Amazing. And he holds the keys of hell and death. And that same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you. He dwells in each and every one of you. That same spirit that rose him from the grave dwells in you. And I'm telling you what, I don't always live that. But we need to live that. That's the same spirit. Get that in your spirit today. The same spirit that rose him from the dead dwells in you. And we take that for granted. We take it for granted. He holds the keys. Would you dare, church? Our world is desperate. West Virginia is desperate. It is not going to take slick, cool, casual Christians to save this world. We need a bunch of radicals for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to risk it all for the lost and broken world? That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Are you willing to say, I will look foolish for you, Jesus? Pastor Chris, come. I will say yes to everything that you're asking me to do. And if that's you today, say, Pastor Melissa, God's calling me to do specific things. And I haven't always stepped out in faith to do it, but I want to be like Mary. I want to be like Noah. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like David. I want to be like Esther. I want to step out and I want to do what he's called me to do and not shrink back. I don't want to be fearful. If that's you tonight, I want us to stand and I want you to come forward, and we're going to lay hands on you. The pastors and ministers are going to lay hands on you so that you can take the steps of faith that he's called you to do, and he will do it